Radio Netherlands, the home of high frequency since 1927.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. And coming up in around 23 minutes, stay tuned for Media Network.
For this week, Jonathan and I visit a station that's got its head in the clouds and aspires to change the world.
There's some funny noises coming down the line. They're sort of like underwater gurgles.
And the mystery deepens.
That's all in Media Network with Jonathan Marks and Diana Janssen. But first, current affairs, and we cross to the Radio Netherlands newsroom. This is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. Media Network presents the station opposite the station. We take you now to central Amsterdam. It's one of those unpredictable summer days. It's sunny now, but by the end of the program, you might get wet. Diana Janssen narrates this guide to one of the more unusual stations in the capital of the Netherlands.
Well, looking at the clouds at the moment, I'm afraid Jim may be right. I've got no idea what this sounds like on the other side of the world, but Jonathan Marks and I are standing on one of the busiest streets in central Amsterdam, the Prins Hendrikkade. And over on this corner, you can see Amsterdam Central Station, here to my right, and one of the canal boat cruise companies to my left. And there are trams, bicycles, trucks, pedestrians and cars, all trying to get from one side of town to the other in the shortest possible time. So in other words, if you were looking for hustle and bustle in Holland, this is probably a pretty good place to start.
Indeed. Later in this week's programme, we'll have news about the hustle and bustle affecting radio and the internet in other parts of the world. But we start today by going inside the building that's standing right behind us.
Yes, it's a large, typically Dutch merchant's house that used to look out on the Old Harbour and the River A. Well, until they built Central Station in front of it. And on the gable towering above us is the word Oibibio, spelled out in large letters. Some people regard this as the new age centre of Amsterdam. Well, and as part of our series on unusual radio stations, we've come to Oibibio for a coffee in the cafe and an interview with the general manager and one of the founders, Ronald Jan Heijn. So let's escape from the noise outside and enter a world whose name doesn't really mean anything at all.
It's on purpose a name with no meaning, but it is on purpose a name with seven letters. So seven is the number of wholeness. Oibibio is a palindrome. You can read it backwards and forwards. Oibibio is an organization who is interested in people, who are interested in personal growth, consciousness, spirituality. The mission we have is to bring spirituality into mainstream society, because we think spirituality is something of everyone and is something of every second of your life.
And how do you bring that concept across?
We have different type of departments. We have a Grand Café, we have a vegetarian restaurant, we have an Eastern tea garden, we have a sauna with a lot of massages and mud baths, etc. We have rooms for our own courses, workshops, and we have doctors and therapists.
Ronald Jan Heijn has all sorts of plans to spread the spirituality of Oibibio outside the building. Earlier this year, the company spent a couple of $100,000 trying to put New Age programs on television and explain their way of thinking to viewers in this part of the world. They ended up buying airtime on a commercial station, and now conclude that the adventure wasn't all that successful. The message didn't get across. Radio, on the other hand, has a different approach. In the course of last year, Obibio started its own radio station, hence our interest in coming here.
There is still a lot to do because a lot of people are very afraid of it. The name spirituality, the term, has a lot of negative associations for a lot of people. And we wanted to bring it to show to people that it's very down to earth, actually.
You're already doing that, I believe. Yeah. You have a radio station.
Yes.
Where is it based?
It's based here around the corner in Amsterdam. It's cable. Still, we are trying to get, of course, in Dutch, it's ether. What's that in frequency? And we have a sort of new age sender, of world music kind of sender. And our mission in that is to bring this type of music on a higher level and to show to people that it is, has nothing to do with what sometimes they call elevator music or whatever.
The radio station started life around February of this year. At the moment, it turns out to be a jukebox system full of New Age music records, which is set up to feed cable systems in the province of North Holland and places like Gouda, Eindhoven and The Hague. Curiously, you won't find them on the Amsterdam cable system yet, but Obibio says that should be solved at the end of the year. The programme format is certainly different from the other commercial and public stations fighting for space on the cable. For the time being, you can't pick up the station on a satellite dish, but that may change too.
It's not only the electronic media that interests Ronald Jan Heijn. He hopes to start a glossy lifestyle magazine that you'd find at the supermarket or at newsagents.
Everything has a soul, and so there's so much to say about that. And that's where our magazine is about, all about. So it's not a magazine where you can read everything about, for instance, reincarnation of is there life on Mars. Very interesting questions, but not so interesting for this type of things.
Could you give an example of an article that would be in that magazine?
Yeah, of course, pregnancy and giving birth, and to give good information about an underwater birth, for instance, what's so special about it. How you can deal with stress, but then not only the mental things you can do it about it, but especially the energetic things about it, how it works and what you can do about it. What is good about cycling? What is good about swimming? So not only talk about, of course, when you swim, it's a good physical exercise, but you also bring your whole energy system in balance with swimming. Swimming is one of the most beautiful things you can do to relax, and we can explain how it works.
Obibio's been in the news itself over the last few weeks. There's been some rather public bickering from former personnel. And one of the Dutch newspapers, Trouw, ran a story suggesting that the New Age Centre wasn't doing at all well and was on the verge of bankruptcy, something that Ronald Jan Heijn calmly denies.
Yeah, but that information was not correct. This journalist had found a report for the accountant, and he named the last accountant report, which was correct, but which was from 1996. So he was correct when you read the report, but he was not correct in the situation we are in now.
So it's very much a million-dollar operation. I mean, to give people on the other side of the world the scale that you're talking about, it's not just a little shop in Amsterdam, this is a big centre.
Now, the whole investment of Obibio now is around $25 million.
There's plenty going on inside the Obibio Center. For instance, there's a sauna complex on the top floor, a record store in the basement. And a large part of the ground floor sells all kinds of soaps, incense, bath salts, wooden toys, and things with a mystic meaning. It's not a religious center, at least not in the traditional sense. You're free to wander around and pick up as much spirituality and physical products as you choose. But walking around in the shop, I was struck by the fact most people I ran into were not from Amsterdam itself. They were visitors.
Last year, in 97, we had 1 million visitors in our house, and that is as much as the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, which is a top attraction for Amsterdam. So everyone is finding out that questions like, what do you think is important in life? What makes you happy? What makes you unhappy, were a sort of luxury questions 10 years ago, which are becoming a necessity question nowadays, because when you don't know what to do, you have a very big problem.
This is a Dutch initiative you're working on. Are there similar initiatives elsewhere in the world? For instance, in California, the United States, which the environment in California is very much like Amsterdam.
That's right.
Do you have connections there?
Yes, but another OBBO doesn't exist anywhere in the world. And actually, our ambition is to build a network of OBBOs all over the world. And we have a lot of questions from San Francisco, Cape Town, Sydney, Prague, Berlin, Paris, to come and to build a OBBO. We love to do it together with someone who is already there, of course. And, of course, I always wondered, why doesn't it exist anywhere else? And one of the answers is because OBBO combines two extremes. And that is, on the one hand, you are very idealistic, and on the other hand, you're very realistic. Namely, that you have to run a business. And we always think that is that can't combine it. But once again, on the contrary, in the early days it was, or the sort of yoga master who thought, hey, I have success, I start a center. Or a certain businessman who thought, well, I start a center. But the yoga master didn't know enough about how to run an organization, and the businessman didn't know enough about the vision behind everything. And the unique thing about OBBO is that we have these two things in one hand. And now I also understand, after 4 years of existing, 6 years when you do the preparation with it, and now I understand how difficult it is. And that's what I meant, but we came from far, because the investments are immense. This is a building from 5,000 square meters, 140 people are working here. We have three other subsidiaries in Holland that are also around 5,000 square meters. One of the problems, of course, we had is how can you convince a bank, an investor, to invest in this? And therefore you have to have results for them, but you can never compromise on the vision.
Dit is OBBO Radio. 24 uur per dag op de kabel met meer dan muziek alleen. Voor informatie kijk op onze internetsite www.oibibio.com. Laat je meevoeren met de muziek van OBBO Radio.
Well, of course, what no one knows, we also don't know, is the whole development of internet. That is incredible. We have around 10,000 people visiting our website every day. Well, if you had asked me a year ago, I would never have believed that. So internet will be very important. I don't know in what form. Another thing is, a magazine will always be a very important medium, if there is internet or not. So, and then, of course, our aim is a satellite radio, because the voice of what really makes you tick is very universal. It's everywhere the same.
It's still a fun-packed feature summer here on Radio Netherlands, as Media Network keeps visiting unusual places to report on the broadcasting business. And you know what? Diana and Jonathan actually end up going to these places. It's amazing. You keep writing in and telling us exactly where to go.
Two other pieces of Dutch-related radio news. There's been a strong rumor going around about Q Radio, a commercial radio station. They transmit on medium wave from the MV Communicator, a ship anchored in the IJsselmeer. We reported earlier this year that they plan to sail the boat nearer to Amsterdam and start some major publicity projects.
News of the last week suggested that experts were on board the ship, making an evaluation on how much the vessel was worth if the transmitters were stripped out and the vessel sold for scrap. So we called Q Radio in Zutphen just before we came on the air and were told that they're just as mystified by the report. They have a long-term contract to hire the ship from the Holland Media Group and plan to continue using 1224 kHz from the communicator for the foreseeable future.
Thierry Vigneault, who is a member of the British DX Club, tipped us off to a test transmission, apparently from France, that's easily audible here in the Netherlands, each evening from about 17 hours UTC onwards. There's continuous English and French music running on 1071 kilohertz with an occasional announcement by someone with a distinctive Belgian accent.
Ceci est une émission test 1071 kHz. This is a test transmission 1071 kHz.
One of the pieces of music that's often played is the Man of Action, used by the offshore station Radio Noordzee Internationaal. The transmitter being used now is thought to be the one at Lille, formerly used by France Inter. But now the transmission agency Télévision de France is hiring out transmitter time to anyone willing to pay up. The name of the station is rumored to be Radio Flandria, and managed by Peter van Dam, a former disc jockey on the offshore station Radio Mi Amigo in the late 70s.
But it's all just a rumour. Now to the internet. And last week, the BBC announced that the controller of BBC Online, Edward Briffer, is being moved to another post. The announcement came following reports of a crisis meeting to reassess the corporation's internet strategy. According to comments from insiders, the operation's already committed its entire budget for this and next year to existing projects and overheads. This amounts to around £23 million sterling per year. Recently, BBC Online relocated from the BBC Television Centre to larger offices in Bush House, home of the World Service.
Currently, the BBC has two parallel internet operations, the commercially sponsored beeb.com and the public service site. There is some duplication of content between the two sites. For example, until recently, both had a sports section. The BBC's operation is also said by industry analysts to be far too labour-intensive. Another problem is that different departments within the BBC produce their own subsites, and there appears to be no overall strategy or corporate identity.
A few years ago, the BBC adopted a policy whereby all its internet operations would be concentrated at a multimedia centre in London. However, some of the local radio stations have continued to operate their own separate websites using commercial service providers. Clearly, one of the first tasks of the new controller will be to establish an identity within the corporation, in addition to tackling the problems of budgeting, staffing and content. According to some reports in the States, the strategy now will involve the Beeb becoming a portal.
Back to radio, and time to link up to Radio Netherlands New York office, where Lee Martin is waiting to talk to us. Last time we spoke with him, Radio Netherlands, National Public Radio and several other radio stations in North America were scrambling to find alternatives to Galaxy 4.
This was a domestic US satellite used to distribute programs to local stations around the United States.
Yes, indeed. The last time we spoke, we expected things to be put right momentarily, and in fact on the 29th of May, that happened, and we went from Galaxy 4 to Galaxy 6, and all the clients, including Radio Netherlands, were back online with the Galaxy satellite.
Now, on the 1st of August, National Public Radio starts a special overnight service, similar in many ways to what the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has been doing. What's our involvement in that?
Well, as you may know, National Public Radio, NPR, has not had an overnight service at all for its client stations in the United States, and as a result, World Radio Network has teamed up with NPR to put a five-hour sequence of international current affairs and feature programs designed to run as an overnight service on NPR affiliate stations. The way they're going to do it, they're going to use Newsline, for instance, from Radio Netherlands. They're going to use news broadcasts and feature programs from Sweden, Finland, Poland, Switzerland, Canada, Hungary, Germany, Russia, United Nations, New Zealand, and others.
I understand they're using some features as well.
Yes, they're using A Good Life, Research File, Siren Song, Roughly Speaking, and of course Newsline.
And as well as National Public Radio, there's another network that started using material from Radio Netherlands too.
The other network is called World Radio, and it's from Georgetown College in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's a brand new 50,000-watt FM radio station that went on the air, and they decided to make a network of it. So they're hoping to be the alternative to NPR. They are sort of a music and information station, unlike NPR, which is really solidly information, and kind of an American roots musical format. Their programming will be far less expensive to the client stations. So with that, they hope to be an alternative to NPR.
Is that up and running as yet?
Yes, they went on the air June 1st. Unfortunately for them, after they got on the air, within just a few weeks afterwards, a large bolt of lightning hit their tower and blew out everything in the radio station. They had to practically start from ground zero. But they were back on the air and functioning relatively normally within about a week.
And what's the call sign of the station in Kentucky?
This is WRVG-FM.
Media Network contributor Tom Sonstrom has found a useful website that will tell you the local time in just about anywhere in the world you can think of. Tom says he hasn't yet run an extensive reality check, but the information at World Time Zone seems to be accurate, and it adjusts for daylight, summertime. The website requires a browser that handles frames. Many countries, including smaller island nations, are listed alphabetically. The Australian states are broken out, as are the United States. Tom did note a shortcoming in Tennessee, as this state is split into two time zones. But Kentucky is reported correctly. Tom thinks this site is worth adding to your browser or favorites file. The URL is www.isbista.com/worldtime.
And we've added that URL to our website. Now to an email from William Martin, who lives in St. Louis, Missouri in the USA, and who sent us this message.
I have a comment regarding the digital broadcasting issue you devoted a lot of time to on the last Media Network. I realize that you are mainly discussing television, but I would like to present a viewpoint regarding digital audio, specifically digital shortwave international broadcasting. Every time this topic is discussed, the justification for it seems to be an improvement in sound quality. As a long-time shortwave listener, who also happens to be an audiophile, I would like to make it known that I am not all that interested in higher quality sound over shortwave. I can switch modes between critical listening to high-end audio systems and listening to shortwave programming for information and content, while putting up with dreadful audio quality, interference, and fading. I'm used to it, and have been doing this for decades. What I want digital shortwave broadcasting to do is to free me from the tyranny of the clock. I want a digital shortwave signal to consist of several multiplexed interleaved program streams which my, yet-to-be-designed, digital receiver can select from, and lets me choose which one I am to hear or record. With digital technology, those bit streams could provide faster than real-time transmission of programs, so that a half-hour program goes out over the air in only a few minutes. This means that it can be repeated over and over, so that I can tune in Media Network, say, when I'm ready to listen to it any time, within a couple-hour block of transmission. Not just at the instant that it is being transmitted, like as is currently the case. When I described this vision on the internet some years back, a respondent said, "You want a multi-gigabyte disk in the sky." That's exactly right. I want a digital broadcasting system that would provide intelligible, but not necessarily super high-fidelity audio with a methodology of extracting the programs I want to hear at the time I want to hear them, not to be at the mercy of somebody else's schedule.
Fascinating comment, I know what you mean. And there are others looking at ways to liberate us all from the clock. The question will also arise, do you want to carry this audio around with you? Partly in the same vein, we now have something called Millennium Radio. This isn't a major new broadcaster, but a website run by well-known US shortwave enthusiast Hans Johnson. Hans knows that conventional radio is great, but it suffers from two critical limitations, time and space. But no station is really large enough to reach all listeners at all times with good reception.
Audio over the internet is one solution to these problems, and no broadcaster can ignore the rapidly growing audience of millions listening on free-to-download players. While large organizations and stations are gathered on web mega stations, no one has wanted to represent many of the smaller broadcasters. Until now.
So along comes Millennium Radio, an internet radio station which promises to offer a collection of very unusual stations. At the moment, the site allows you to select European and US programmes broadcast illegally on shortwave by hobby stations. Radio Mi Amigo, Voice of the Leak, KQSB. These are some of the vintage recordings on the site now. Plus the extremely strange Voice of Laryngitis. There were days when listeners tuned down the dial and bumped into this.
When you hear the cry of the seal, you're listening to the voice of laryngitis.
Although it's still illegal to broadcast without a license, you can narrowcast what you like through the web. Authorities like the FCC in the United States have direction-finding stations, which, in theory, can triangulate and pinpoint the exact location of an illegal transmitter within a matter of minutes. It's the same story in Europe. From our conversations with owners of hobby pirate stations, more than half of the fun of running one of these ventures was the cat-and-mouse game with the authorities. We've seen transmitters hidden in forests and aerials tucked away between trees. The emphasis has usually been on elaborate schemes with remote transmitters and a little bit of time set aside for parodies of legal stations.
So, the site is run by Hans Johnson. It's called Millennium Radio Website, and you can find it at www.gelat.com/radio. That's www.gelat.com/radio. We know that Real Audio 5 works well, but the site is not configured to handle the second generation of Real Audio.
Coming soon in August, Media Network pushes new receivers through an extensive laboratory test. Is a new digital set from Germany worth the big price tag? We also take another look at Low, and Victor Gunatuleka brings his home nearer to ours. That's all in the summer editions of Media Network, available free from a wireless near you. No excuses. Be there.
Now to a few items in brief, and Richard W. Finn sent us an email. He could be anywhere from the email address, but his question's quite specific.
I enjoy Radio Netherlands broadcasts and your web page immensely. When are you planning to review the new improved SW8, as you state at the beginning of the review currently on your website?
Another case of delivery problems, for we've had difficulty getting hold of an upgraded Drake SW8 in this part of the world. It is available in the US and it's also noted on the shelves in the UK. But the high value of the dollar has made the radio much less competitive on the European market, hence our difficulty in getting hold of one on this part of the European continent. But it's on our list of sets to review, though we will be looking at the Low and Kneisen Doring sets first.
Now, following up on last week's documentary, British Sky Broadcasting announced yesterday that their new 24-hour sports news channel will launch on August 10th. Sky Sports News will only be available as part of Sky's new digital service on the Astra satellite. Sky says that its complete digital package will eventually consist of 200 separate channels. Initially, most of the viewers will be customers of cable systems around the UK, as there are still very few digital receivers in the home.
In fact, almost none. And to close this show, Andy Sennett asked us to mention that the page of the offshore broadcasting nostalgia links on our website has been updated over the past couple of weeks. The URLs of several important sites have changed, and one or two have disappeared altogether. We'll also be checking and revising our page of longwave links in the next few weeks. These links pages can be reached by accessing the Radio Netherlands homepage at the usual www.rnw.nl and clicking on Real Radio. In fact, Real Radio will soon be expanded with additional features. Stay tuned and keep watching the website for further information. But that's it for now. Diane and I will be back in August.
And in the meantime, please find the sun for us.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1998.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.